these people. Now, you say, I don't believe the Holy Spirit worked till Pentecost. Well, why don't you? You know, so many people began the work of the Holy Spirit with Pentecost. And folks, that is not right. The Holy Spirit began a special work through His church at Pentecost. But He did not begin His work at Pentecost. Did you know people were filled with the Holy Spirit before Pentecost? Well, let me show you. Elizabeth in Luke 1:41, if you want to put it down, the margin of your book somewhere there. Luke 1:41. I'm not going to turn and read it, but time runs out. Zacharias. Luke 1:67. This has to do with John the Baptist. The mom and papa. John the Baptist. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, I didn't think he worked in the Old Testament era. Well, he did. And in Genesis 6:3, before the flood now, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Holy Spirit was striving with people in the world before the flood. Now that's clear, isn't it? Now, in Acts 7:51, which is an excerpt from a pretty plain sermon by Stephen, he said this, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Now Stephen is preaching. And he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did." Putting it on back in the Old Testament era. They resisted the Holy Spirit. Listen, you don't resist someone who does not deal with you. The Holy Spirit dealt with people back then. Well, I know the question that comes up, and I don't know how you feel about it. But nearly every year someone asks me, "Do you think that people in the Old Testament times were born again, born of the Spirit when they were saved?" Yes, I believe that. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bible to the third chapter of John. And Let's observe something. There, John the third chapter and in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, he has two births under consideration here. He has a fleshly birth, which brings us into an earthly family. And then he has in consideration a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That spiritual birth, or birth from above, brings us into a heavenly family, right? Into the family of God. Now, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it bloweth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Now the word master, it means teacher. Are you a teacher of Israel, and you mean you don't know that? It sounds like, to me, well, it's clear as a bell, that our Lord is saying to Nicodemus, as a teacher, you should have known about the new birth. Are you a teacher of Israel? Don't know about this? You must be born again. That's not just for people in New Testament times. That was people from the fall of man to where we are now. Were they born of the Spirit? Yes. Yes. People that were saved back there were born again. That's what I believe. I think this scripture right here is really all evidence I need. God is sovereign. He does things like he wants to. And I'm not going to try to put God in the straitjacket. And he caused Balaam's donkey to talk. And I don't believe he's using donkeys now like that. I think he could if he wanted to. Don't you? He makes preachers act like donkeys. Sometimes. Well, that's all for today. On the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll find on page, I have made a note here on page 31. The Holy Spirit in leading. We didn't talk much about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God. We know that the new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't feel like I needed to spend any, a lot of time on that. We do know that the Holy Spirit leads. And really, the big question is not that the Holy Spirit leads, but our willingness to follow his leadership is the important thing. He empowers. Now, we've talked about that before in evangelism, but I don't know that we could talk about it too much. The Holy Spirit empowers. In Acts 1:8, I make notes in my book. I don't know what whether you do. Make, you know, in your book or in your notes, and keep them separate. Make a defense of faith book and keep that to itself. Be my suggestion. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. And that word is dynamis, dynamic power. Not authoritative power. Now Jesus had that, you know. He said, all power in the Great Commission. All power, meaning all authoritative power, is given to me, both in heaven and in earth. Now in Acts 1:8, it is a different word. Actually, in the Greek language, it looks enough like the word dynamite that you'd recognize it. Dynamis, dynamic power. The Holy Spirit, when yielded to, gives dynamic power to do the work of God. We must not forget that. Now Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say again, that I believe what Paul is saying here is that when a man gets drunk, he is under the control of whiskey. He is under the control of whiskey for evil. He'll say and do things he should not say and do, and he will say and do things that he would not do if he were sober. So God says, not that, not that. But let the Holy Spirit control you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and dominate you. And when the Holy Spirit fills a man, takes control of him, you know what kind of fruit you'll see in his life? Let me read. In Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance, that is control. Against such there is no law. Scholars tell me this is a beautiful moral, spiritual portrait of Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, you can talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that, but I double dog dare you to find anywhere in the Bible, start searching today, where any individual as such is commanded to be baptized of the Holy Ghost. Now start searching. Yeah, start searching. And when you find it, say, I found it. And I'll say, okay, I'll call the roll and you can tell us about it. Oh, I know what happened on the day of Pentecost. The church, as such, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And they talked with other tongues, other languages. But let me tell you something. You're people of intelligence. You read Acts, the second chapter. Read it for yourself. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit enabled these men who did not know some 17 languages and dialects represented in that great concourse of people The Holy Spirit enabled these people to preach in languages they did not know. Now, since that's the first mention of talking in tongues, I think it's a pretty good pattern to say that talking in tongues, real languages, is what happened in other places in the Bible. And I believe I can prove that. This unknown language, so much gibberish, praying in the unknown tongue. I want a little Bible proof on it. Let me tell you where my controversy is with the charismatics. And don't tell me I'm ignorant on it. I'm ignorant on a lot of things, but I'm not ignorant on this movement. Most charismatics will take their experiences before they'll take the Word of God. I'm afraid of that. You better check every emotion you have and every motive you have and every thought you have and every action you take. Check it with the Word of God. I'm not worried about a man being filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll talk. He'll talk in tongues that people can understand. He'll talk to people about Jesus Christ, because that's the purpose of it. The purpose of it is for witnessing. Isn't that what it says in Acts 1:8? Can you imagine a train with three or four diesel engines, you know, just power? They're powerful engines. And it's on a sidetrack, you know. And it just goes up and down that sidetrack. Just to show that, boy, look at the power. Do you know what those big diesel engines are for? They are to pull a payload. You know that? They're not for display. That's not the purpose of it. And you see them today on the railroads, and if there's as many as three or four of those big diesel engines, you better believe it, there'll be a long, long string of cars behind. Talking in tongues is not a quick way to spiritual maturity. So-called talking in tongues. In fact, it's not a sign of maturity at all. I don't see how the folk are real proud of it when they read 1 Corinthians. Because they were everything but spiritual. Weren't they? Carnal! And I see in 1 Corinthians a reflection of what's going on now. Now there's another thing I want to talk about just a little bit. And that is that the Holy Spirit indwells every child of God. You know, some people are hesitant on that. Some don't believe it. I don't know why. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't believe that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And I'm going to give you scripture for it. And you can do with it what you're big enough to do. I mean, you don't have to believe anything because I say it, but I'd like you to check it out with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. That's clear enough for me. Now I'd like you to turn to Romans 8:8-9. Romans 8:8-9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, if you don't understand that, that sounds very perplexing. Flesh. What is meant by flesh there? It means what we are from Adam. What we are in our natural state. Just simply children of Adam. Flesh. They that are in the flesh. Now, it doesn't mean just in the body, because if that were true, no one in the body could please the Lord. But they that are in their natural state, haven't been born again, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. They were in their bodies. They were living. They received a letter. They were in their bodies, mind you. But they were not in the flesh. They were not in their natural state. They had been born again. They had become children of God. Now let's read the next verse. But ye are not in the flesh. Same verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, I know the objection to that. They say the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit's not the same. I want to give you two passages that straighten that out for you. And I'd like to give you 1 Peter 1:10-11. 1 Peter 1:10-11. And I want to turn and read. You just keep up with your notes. 1 Peter 1:10-11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, what was it that moved these prophets of old? The Spirit of Christ. You say, well, but you still haven't said that. You still haven't read in the Word of God that that's the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Well, give me time. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, if you can't see that, you just take out now and go home for early dinner and forget it. The Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, are used interchangeably as one and the same. Now it's there. You can take it or leave it. The Holy Spirit indwells every child of God. Now just a moment, lest someone, you know, jump at the wrong conclusion. Only exercise some people get is just jumping at conclusions. Wait. Get the whole thing. Each church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a special habitation of the Holy Spirit. I believe that too. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. where? Ephesians 2:21 and 2. In whom? Ephesians 2:21 and 22. I'll get it right eventually. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now, it's this letter to the church. In whom ye, that's plural, also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. Now, some way beyond our comprehension, we must accept this. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a special dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You say, God is everywhere. And that's true, but he is in one of the Lord's churches in such a way as he is not out in the world. He is. And you know what I'm talking about. And when the body, each church is called the body of Christ. You say, I thought the body of Christ referred to all the saved. Oh, that's what Scopey and others say, but don't pay attention to that. Do you know what, you know, I can't quit on this. I'm going to start on something else. You know what Paul said to the church of God at Corinth? He said, ye are the body of Christ. Not a fragment of it. Let's turn there. Let's get that. That's 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Didn't say you're a part of the body. But each church is likened to a human body. It's not a literal human. It's not a literal body, but likened to a human body with Christ as its head. And there's a lot of things that run parallel, you know. You know, everything being normal, a church reproduces. There's the people saved and added to it. The church gets sick. It doesn't reproduce. Churches get sick. You know, it's not bothers us. Well, so much for that. The last thing. What does the Holy Spirit do in the resurrection? What is your hope as far as the resurrection is concerned? Romans 8:11. Excuse me. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. What? Did you get that? If the Spirit of Christ, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ by the glory of the Father shall also quicken, no English word, which means make alive your mortal or dying bodies. So you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, don't you? Going to give us glorified bodies. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? If you don't, you're not God's child, and you can't claim that. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, that same Holy Spirit will make live eternally your mortal body. What is your mortal body? Dying body. We don't like to think of it, but we are living in dying bodies. I look at you and I can tell you, and you can say the same to me, you're dying. For as to the body, you're dying. You say, I am? Yes. You're dying. I had a sister to die, yes. You know, tomorrow. Seven to eight. You say, well, you know, about time for her to die. Well, it'll be time for you to die sometime, too. You say, well, I'm young. Never mind, you can live that down. Someone told me there's three stages in life, you know, there's youth, middle age, and you look good. Now I'm in you look good area. Now what it means is, when they say you look good, it means in spite of the fact you're getting old, you look good. I read between the lines. I know what they're talking about. So, you know, you look good. Usually I tell them there's never been anything wrong with my looks. First place. I've always been handsome, humble, honest, upright. They laugh just like you have. Oh, I'm going to quit this.